Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Amen. If you're new, if you're visiting us, we are in our Christmas journey. The theme for this year is Journey to Faith. And we've already looked at the beginning of the journey and the character of Christ that we can clothe ourselves with this Christmas season. Today, this is our family service, and the theme today is we journey together. So I'm going to perform a miracle today and try to speak in less than 20 minutes. God help me. Christmas is known worldwide for gifts and giving gifts. But why is that? Even unbelievers give gifts during this season. And why is that? We know it's because at Christmas, we celebrate the fact that God gave the greatest gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We remember Christmas because God gave himself, which is the greatest gift. God gave himself. So today we want to look at how we can give ourselves during Christmas and beyond, how we can give ourselves and our gifts to help each other on our journey. Because we're on the same journey together with one destination. We have one faith, one Lord, one Spirit, one Father. And we're on the same journey. And we journey together. So we need each other. In the Christmas story, you remember that there were wise men who journeyed and traveled from vast distances to come and present their gifts to Jesus. Now, we normally think it is three wise men, but the scripture doesn't give the number just because they gave three gifts, gold, frankincense, and incense, and myrrh. We tend to think that there were three, but historically, there's reason to believe that there would have been a vast number of wise men, major from the east, who traveled across the desert and long distances together to come and present their gifts. And if you remember the story, there was a point where they actually went to the palace first because they thought that if there was a king to be born, because they saw the star in the east and they realized that a great king had been born. And they assumed that a king would be born in the palace. So they went to the palace to look for the king. And when Herod heard that there's a prophecy of a king being born in Bethlehem, he got jealous because he thought Jesus' kingdom would be physical. And he thought Jesus was a threat to his own rule and his own kingdom. So what did he do? He tried to kill Jesus. He tried to look for the king that had been born and kill him. But the wise men helped Jesus by not disclosing the location of Jesus to Herod, and his family helped him. Imagine the king of the universe was at risk. His life was at risk, and he needed help. He needed help from his family. They ran away. They took him to Egypt and stayed there until Herod died before they came back. Now, if this was a fiction, if the Christmas story was fiction and it was made by Hollywood, you would imagine that God would not be vulnerable. He wouldn't need anyone. The heroes we grew up with in the 90s were Rambo, Commando, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Chuck Norris. These men could do everything by them. They didn't need anyone. They didn't need any help. They could take on armies single-handedly and defeat them. So I could imagine, and you can tell I watched too many movies, but I could imagine baby Jesus as the soldiers come, who just tell his parents, hey, chill, guys. I've got this. Watch this. And with his tiny baby fingers, he would just do something like this. And the soldiers would all freeze and be suspended in the air. And Jesus might just do this, and they'll crush their heads together and smash them to pieces. But this was not a Hollywood movie. This was not fiction. In reality, the king of the universe laid aside his majesty. He emptied himself of his deity. He became vulnerable in a helpless babe and he needed help and support. And we see that even as Jesus grew up and he started his ministry, the only man in history who could do all things by himself chose to do things in community. He surrounded himself with helpers, with disciples. And this morning, we want to look at how we can thrive and journey together in community, because Jesus modeled this to us to show us that we cannot make the journey on our own. We cannot hope to do this on our own. We need support. We need each other. Our main scripture today is from Romans chapter 12. And it says, for each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though we are many, we form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Amen. This one, I just want to make two points very quickly. The first one is, we celebrate the gifts of others. Why? Because we all have something to contribute. We all have a gift to bring. Just as the wise men brought their gift before Jesus, we all have a gift to bring to Jesus and to present to each other. Notice that there is no hierarchy in the gifts. The gift of encouragement is mentioned in the same breath as prophecy and prophesying. Sometimes it's very easy for us to belittle the gift that we have, underestimate the gift that we have, and look at other people and think, oh, look at how wonderful their gift is. You know, they're on the platform. Look at how influential and prominent their gift is. But in the scriptures, all the gifts are equally important, and they are all equally needed. And the scripture makes it clear that we all have a gift. God, according to the grace given to us, there's a gift of giving. That's a gift. Now, this is not an excuse for some the stingy ones among us to say, oh, I don't have the gift of giving. Some special people have a gift of giving. We all have a gift of giving, but some people are extraordinarily gifted with hospitality. There's a gift of serving. And it's mentioned in the same breath as a gift of teaching and preaching. There's a gift of leadership. And we know that this list is not exhaustive. There are other gifts in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians. We find so many other gifts that God has put in the church. Why? For the benefit of the whole body. Because when the eye sees, the eye is seeing for the whole body. When the ear hears, the ear is hearing for the whole body. When the legs walk, it's walking for the whole body. But the eye cannot walk. The ear cannot taste or smell. But each gift is different, but each gift works for the benefit of the whole body. That's why we need one another and we need each other. God has so ordered that none of us is John Rambo. None of us can do it all by ourselves. We don't have it all together. But you know what? In my experience, what I've found is when I'm praying to God about my weaknesses and the things I'm struggling with, and I'm praying for an answer from God, what God does is that God puts the answer in you. God puts it in someone else. My weakness is someone's gift. So when I need something, that answer is in you. That is in somebody else. And my gift, my strength, might be the answer to your prayer, might be the answer to your weakness. So together, what I need is in you. what you need is in me. And when I present my gift to you and you present your gift, then together we all benefit and we are all edified. There's a song that we used to sing way back in the day. And it's called, I Need You to Survive. It said, I need you. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. You need me. We are all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We are all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. The chorus says, I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. This morning, I want you to know that you are important to the body of Christ. You are important to the church. We need what you carry. We need your gift, and you have something to contribute. You have a gift to bring to the body of Christ. So we use our gifts, our strengths, our abilities to minister, encourage, and bless each other. Amen. The final point is we offer our gifts to protect each other. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4 says, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. This is the spirit of Jesus, that we look out for each other. We look out for the interests of others. There's a fable, a famous one by Aesop. And you might know it. It's about the four oxen and a lion. And the fable goes like there were these four oxen who were being pursued by a lion. And the lion wanted to kill them. But the lion could not, because they always defeated the lion together. How did they do this? You notice that the lion always attacks the weak side, the weakness. And the weakness of an ox is their backside. The strength of the ox is their horns. So when the horn is facing the lion, a lion cannot attack them because the horns are strong and it will tear into the lion. But if the lion latches onto their backside, he's going to devour them. So what did they do? They positioned themselves in a formation where they were protecting each other's backsides. So one was facing forward, the other was facing backwards. One was facing this side, the other was facing that side. So which direction the lion came, the lion met horns. You will notice that as they were defending and protecting, they were not protecting themselves, because the one facing this way had their back exposed. He needed the one behind to protect him. The one facing this way had their backside exposed, and they needed the one here to protect them. So when they were fighting the lion, they were not fighting for themselves, for their own sake. They were looking out for the interest of the other one. But because each one was looking for the interest of the other, they were all protected. This is what the scripture is saying, that when we look out for the interest of each other, we are all taken care of. If I'm looking out for you, and you're looking out for her, and she's looking out for him, and he's looking out for me, in the end, we are all looked after. In the fellowship and community of the church, we look out for each other. We offer the gifts we have to minister to each other, to cover each other's weaknesses, and to bless each other. Amen. I'm going to call the worship team back as I conclude. I think I'm doing well on time. I'm going to conclude with John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus knew that we would need each other. There are battles that will come at you just because you're a child of God. There are challenges that we'll face if we're going to fulfill the destiny God has for us and to accomplish the work of God and the purpose of God. There will be challenges that will come. There are tragedies that come just because we are in a fallen world. This world is broken, and there's heartache, and there's pain, and there's evil in the world. But we don't have to face them all alone. We don't have to face them on our own. We journey together, and we support each other. We cannot hope to make it on our own, and we are not meant to do it alone. Some of the moments that I've been so blessed in this church were sometimes after the service, and someone would randomly come up to me and say, "This week I felt strongly to really pray for you. I just want you to know that I've been praying for you, and I'm continuing to pray for you." And they wouldn't know that that particular week, that moment, those times I was in moments where I really needed help, that I couldn't even pray for myself. Someone was praying for me. Someone was standing with me. Someone was agreeing with me. I've shared this so many times. There were times when I was such a nervous wreck that sometimes literally I would get physically sick out of anxiety. And I couldn't wait on Tuesdays to come to Apex. And John and Margaret and the other Apex leaders would just surround me and just pray for me. Just pray for me. And that would give me the strength to go on until Sunday. And then Sunday after service, I'll come for prayer. I don't know who's the... If you've been here for a long time, you remember Pastor Anna. And I'm sure she was tired of seeing me every Sunday. Anna had this gift of encouragement that she would give me a word that I needed just that week. So I would just rush up after service and go to her, say, "Pray for me." And she's like, "Here we go again." But every time she prayed for me, she would have a word. And that would strengthen me. That would encourage me. When we are in community, in our weakest moments, others have the strength to carry us. And when you are strong and they are at their weakest moments, you carry them. And the interesting thing is that some of us might feel like we don't have a gift, we have nothing to contribute. But it's in community that your gift will be called out. There's a gift in you. But if you are isolated, you might not know. But when you're plugged in, there will be a demand. When there is a need, your gift will shine through and it will come out. I remember in Apex, I was always saying, "I'm a stammerer. I don't want to speak in public. I cannot do, when I stand to speak in public, I become a nervous wreck and I stammer even more." So I was always at the back, shying away. And the leaders, Declan, Miss Mana, John, Margaret, Timo, Cecilia, they would nudge me and they would push me and they would say, "We see a gift in you. God has given you a word. God has given you a voice. Don't hide it. Come on." And sometimes, literally, I'll be at the back and during the service, the Declan would sneak up to me with a microphone and just hold it to my mouth and say, "Speak." And I noticed that every time I stepped up, I became less conscious about my weakness. I didn't know whether I was stammering or not because I couldn't even think of it. But God took over and He fanned the flame of the gift. And I became less and less dependent on my weakness and more dependent on Him, because the church fanned my gift into flame and they called it out. If you're here and you're not plugged in and you're alone and you're doing this journey on your own, can I encourage you? Get plugged in. Get connected. Find a ministry find a place where you can have community and be willing to surrender your gifts to God and to the people. Present your gift to Jesus and present it to the church, to his people, and see how God will refine that gift, fan it into flame to bless so many people, and how you will receive blessing and strength and encouragement from others. As we prepare for Christmas, may we encourage one another. May we strengthen one another. May we bless one another. May we protect one another in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.